As we approach the second U.S.-North Korea summit, the media in the United States is so focused on the dynamics between President Trump and Kim Jong-un that the interests and motivations of another key player has gone under-discussed. I am, of course, talking about China. It was Kim's meeting with Xi Jinping in Beijing earlier this year that alerted the world to Pyongyang's intentions to advance the second summit meeting with the United States. China is also North Korea's most prominent economic partner. And yet, we do not give enough thought to how China may be approaching the situation on the Korean Peninsula. Our guest today, Dr. Lee Sung-hyun, is the director of the Center for Chinese Studies at the Sejong Institute in South Korea. He sat down with KAI's Junhee Kim to provide us with his views on how China approaches the tensions on the Korean Peninsula and its broader ambitions in the region vis-a-vis the United States. He also led a seminar discussion on this very topic at the Korea Economic Institute in October 2018. We will provide a link to the video of the presentation in this episode's description. With no further delay, from the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., this is Korean Context.
Thank you, Dr. Lee, for sitting down with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
This is a great opportunity to hear more about your perspective on some of the new developments that are happening within Northeast Asia, specifically China and the Koreas. Mm-hmm. For our listeners, do you mind giving some background on the relationship and maybe the current status of that relationship?
Yeah. China traditionally is believed to have the largest influence over North Korea. I mean, that's what you say, and China's government always denies. China's government tries to be modest, denies that, oh, we don't have that influence that America claims that we have, because China fears that, you know, America uses that logic to pressure China, to pressure North Korea. And China always thinks that the issue about North Korea denuclearization is about not China's responsibility, it's the issue between North Korea and the United States. So United States should not use China to try to resolve the North Korean issue. China always becomes very suspicious that this is a strategic ploy by United States to use China and to drive wedge between China and North Korea as well. But interestingly, for the last few months, as we saw, it has been a very rapid improvement between U.S. President Trump and Kim Jong-un. The personal chemistry is really amazing and unprecedented. And while this has been unfolding and they met in Singapore summit, China has a bit of anxiety that it was being left out while this whole drama is unfolding. But then I think having said that, China is also very rational and also practical. What I mean by that is that the way the whole and overall process has been unfolding so far, China believes that it fits China's own national interest. Why do I say that? First, China wants denuclearization of North Korea as well. And the end product of this negotiation between North Korea and the United States is the denuclearization of North Korea. So it's okay for China because it benefits China's own interest. China also wants no war on the Korean Peninsula. Even 1 year ago, we were talking about war, but now we are talking about peace. So this transition from military crisis to the now we are talking about peace is something also China wants as well. And China also wants the North Korean issue to be solved through negotiation and dialogue, not military way. And the North Korea and the United States are negotiating through these diplomatic negotiations. These things are, if China is looking at it from strategic perspective, things are moving in the direction that fits with China's own national interest, even though China is not driving the game.
On the U.S. side, a lot of people believe that China has a lot of influence in North Korea. And even President Donald Trump himself, early in his presidency, tweeted a lot about how he thought that it was a problem that China had a lot of power over. Now, with things changing rapidly over the past year, year and a half or so, from the U.S. policy side, how has that reflected in terms of how China views the current situation?
Mm-hmm. I think when Trump became new president, he just repeated what previous U.S. president said. He said the North Korean problem is China's responsibility to fix. It's the just exact repetition of what the previous U.S. president said for the last 25 years. It's called strategic patience, but it's a recipe for U.S. not directly engaging and negotiating with North Korea, but it's outsourcing the responsibility of dealing with the North Korean issue. Let China do it, because U.S. as a superpower has other priorities such as the Middle East. And this is an Asia-Pacific issue. And in a way that it's giving responsibility to China, in also a way to recognize China's regional status so that China could play a more positive role by cooperating with the United States. But I think amid the deepening trade conflict with the United States, amid the deepening strategic mistrust and rivalry for leadership in East Asia, such as the South China Sea dispute, also even the cyber hacking issue is a very sensitive issue, Taiwan issue. There are a number of hotspots that we have been experiencing these days. And I think China has been also thinking its own national interest. China's official stance right now is that working with the United States on North Korean issue, because denuclearization of North Korea is shared interest between United States and China. But for China, it is not necessarily the top interest, top priority. It's a key interest, but not top priority. So when there is increasing conflict between China and the United States, China will be inclined to think about to secure its influence over North Korea. That means that China may prioritize China's leverage, China's influence over the North Korean issue, over the denuclearization issue. So denuclearization issue is important, but it's not at the top of China's list. How that will influence the ongoing UN sanctions against North Korea, that will be also a question about it. Even though U.S. wants China to maintain maximum pressure while this denuclearization negotiation is unfolding, but China may not be too enthused to honor the American request, because when there is a relationship between the two is getting sour, and also China also does not want to undermine its own relations with North Korea, which China just recovered after several years of bad relations, soured relations after Xi Jinping and Kim Jong-un took power. So after several years of estranged relations between North Korea and China, China at this stage probably not inclined to sacrifice its relationship with North Korea to help the United States. So this is something that touches upon the strategic signals that Washington and Beijing sending each other. And I think they need to talk more frankly about this issue. But it's not an easy issue, by the way, because now we are seeing more like a structural competition where there is less and less room for China to compromise when it is dealing with the United States, because compromise is that there is less and less items to I give up, but then you give something to me to fill the gap. Those kind of give and take relationship used to be the norm of these dynamics between U.S. and China relations. But as China's technological prowess has improved over the last 25 years, now China is competing in the sectors where U.S. is primarily dominating, such as artificial intelligence, biotechnology, aerospace, big data. These are where American companies are very dominating, and China is no longer just a developing country. China is really entering and competing directly with the U.S. key industries. So it means that structurally speaking, the dilemma is that in the past, U.S.-China relations was characterized as a partial cooperation and partial competition, but now we're heading into more rivalry, more competition, and more competition. So this is something worrisome.
Talking about that global rivalry between China and the United States, China's leader Xi Jinping, he recently consolidated his power again in China and kind of got a new mandate to rule. How does his vision of China or his policy of how he sees China world affect both how China views itself against the United States and also their policy towards Korea?
I think the DNA of China's self-identity, the way China looks at itself, what kind of country it is changing in a dramatic way, particularly by this leader called Xi Jinping. I think Xi Jinping is someone who feels tremendous responsibility on his own shoulders to rejuvenate the old glory of Chinese empire. The slogan is to rejuvenation of a great Chinese nation and by the year 2050. So it's not just idealistic mantra. It is, they have a clear goal to achieve it, and there is also a timeline. So that's when China feels strong enough as a superpower in the world, strong in terms of economy, strong in terms of military, on par with the United States, even surpasses the United States to become the sole superpower in the world. And that fits the aspirations of the collective psyche of the Chinese people who are supporting this rejuvenation of a great China, so-called, you know, Chinese dream, 中国梦. There is another element, that is that as this confidence is growing as a superpower, as China's economy is booming, in the past, when there is a conflict or disagreement with the United States, China was trying to avoid that conflict, trying to compromise, even willing to make concessions when China was encountering a mountain of an obstacle called the United States. China was going around the mountain to avoid conflict. But China has this growing self-awareness to look at conflict with the United States as an unavoidable process of self-discovery, a growing pain that it needs to face so that it can grow into a bona fide superpower. This is also very interesting national psyche. So combined together, I think that there will be a more areas of conflict between China and the United States. And when it comes to North Korean issue, even though China and the United States both want the denuclearization as their goal to achieve, but it's not necessarily the top priority. I think China's top priority is the United States. Big power mentality is as such that, and North Korea is stuck between this big power rivalry and power dynamics between China and the United States. So I think the North Korean issue was, in a way, symbol of cooperation, trust between the United States and China in the past. But I think this dynamic is shifting, and we are facing a tremendous uncertainty. For example, despite North Korea's nuclear provocations, when there is increasing conflict and rivalry with the United States, China will be inclined to have North Korea stay on China's side. In that case, China will not impose very strict sanctions against North Korea, which will undermine the relation between China and North Korea. So this is just one example. How China deals with North Korea will be inevitably influenced by the relation between China and the United States. And for the time being, we are heading into ooze of uncertainty.
So to go off a little bit about that uncertainty, with the election of President Donald Trump, who campaigned more on a protectionist, isolationist view, and now as president, his administration is often critical of multilateral forms or mechanisms. And a lot of people have commented on how the U.S. is kind of withdrawing from that global leadership role that they've taken on for the past half century or so. How is Xi Jinping and China viewing that change in the U.S.?
Interestingly speaking, part of this China's confidence vis-a-vis with the United States and China's willingness to challenge the authority of the United States superpower is driven by the election of Donald Trump as the leader of the sitting global power. Because in China, for example, to become a top leader, you have to go through at least 30 years of apprenticeship. You have to deal with different responsibilities. And when you go through that different tests, when you are recognized, you're given more bigger responsibility, incremental promotion, provincial responsibility. And then when the central government recognizes your talent and your ability, they invite you to Beijing. So Xi Jinping also went through like Shanghai, Zhejiang province, the Xiamen, the southern provinces. So he has a training about like 30 years of training to before he became the top leader. But when they saw Donald Trump, a TV celebrity, a businessman without any experience of politics, overnight became the top leader of the most important country in the world. And Chinese are scratching their head. That's something very interesting and strange. Probably our political system is superior than that of the United States. Our socialism is superior than that of the United States. Look at our economy and the way Trump is undermining its own leadership, its own alliance system, the globalization. Xi Jinping even attended for the first time as a Chinese leader the Davos Forum and preached about the virtue of globalization and the importance of the respecting the global rules, which Donald Trump has been undermining. So China sees the Donald Trump presidency of the United States as a strategic opportunity to speed up the rise of China and strengthening China's national power in overall aspect in economy and also military, also the national strength and also soft power as well. So in a way, Donald Trump's election as the United States president gave an encouraging motivation for China to sense that, wow, amid the deepening rivalry, Donald Trump is really an opportunity for China becoming a superpower. So it motivates China to compete with the United States instead of avoiding the rivalry and competition.
You've given us a lot to think about in regards to China and its global role. Any closing remarks that you think our listeners should know about China and how they think about themselves?
When it comes to China, I think it's very important for us to avoid any simplistic conclusion that describes China as a problem. I think this is not that simple. China also plays a lot of important and positive role, even the North Korean issue that we just discussed. For example, in the process of North Korea's opening up its economy, North Korea is naturally a bit hesitant when South Korea, a democracy, or United States approaches North Korea. North Korea fears that might undermine the North Korean regime, its political system. North Korea became very suspicious when South Korean President Kim Dae-jung approached North Korea with the so-called sunshine policy of opening up engagement. It was a very good thing, but North Korea became very suspicious that there might have been some ulterior motivation to undermine the progress of South Korea using the sunshine policy as a Trojan horse to undermine the social rubric political system of North Korea. When China approaches North Korea by training North Korean middle-level cadre of the Workers' Party and North Korea's government officials for training about international law, international trade, about international contract, or how to build a special economic zones, which actually have been happening for the last few months, I think North Korea is less afraid about opening up. So there is an area when China plays a very positive role about encouraging North Korea. When we see that, we have to encourage and also recognize China's positive role. And when China also plays a less than positive role, then we also give China feedback that, you know, this is some area that we need to work on. So being that honesty and also giving a good feedback, recognize China's positive contribution, not just demonizing China, which will also push China away from the international cooperation, also cooperation in terms of North Korean issue. I think it's not very helpful. I think we have to recognize that China will pursue its own national interest, just like what South Korea and United States does as a normal country and behaving. So creating more room for common cooperation and how we are able to encourage China to positively contribute the North Korean issue and coming up with this inducement or policy areas of cooperation, I think this is also something that Washington and Seoul should think about so that China could be a part of the solution, not part of the problem when it comes to the North Korean issue.
That's it for our episode today. Many thanks to Dr. Lee Sung-hyun for coming on the show today, and to you listeners for tuning in. As mentioned in the intro, you can find the seminar discussion that Dr. Lee led at KAI in the link provided in the description. If you have any comments or questions, send us a tweet at KOREAECONINST. If you haven't already, don't forget to subscribe and rate us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. And don't forget to visit our Facebook page, where you can stream our events live and tune in for Korea This Week, when we review the most important developments on the peninsula. Our next Korea This Week episode will air on Facebook at 2 p.m. on Tuesday, February 19th. See you there!